This is the Aspen Public Radio newscast. I'm your host, Megan Tackett, here with your top stories this Monday. Local nonprofit Youth Zone is tapping into a new source of funding to treat and prevent substance abuse, opioid settlement dollars. The pharmaceutical industry is providing the money to state and local governments after they joined a coalition that sued the companies for fueling the opioid crisis. Eleanor Bennett reports.
Youth Zone has helped young people deal with substance use issues for the last 50 years. That includes many involved in the juvenile justice system. A lot of the nonprofit's money comes from government grants and contracts. Executive Director Jamie Hayes says the recent government shutdown led to funding delays, though, and budget shortfalls at the state and at local governments like Garfield County could affect them too. But last week, Garfield County commissioners approved a $100,000 grant for the nonprofit. Hayes says that was made possible because of the recent windfall from opioid settlement money.
We're excited that we get to continue the same level of service, you know, as we walk into this really unstable political climate and funding climate.
The city of Rifle has also agreed to help Youth Zone apply for a state opioid settlement grant this month to update a treatment facility and office building. Those grant recipients will be announced in June. For Aspen Public Radio and Aspen Journalism, I'm Eleanor Bennett.
Hundreds of people showed up for the last Mass at St. Benedict's Monastery in Old Snowmass yesterday morning. The monastery has a spiritual legacy going back 70 years to when the Trappist monks first came to the Castle Creek Valley. Former abbot Father Charles Abenese led yesterday's service. People in the crowd teared up as he recited words from a Colorado poet that a friend sent him upon hearing the monastery would be closing. The poem ended with the line, quote, "I prefer to be moved by how much you've changed me, not to dwell in the loss, but not to shy from being torched by love." After the service, some walked to the cemetery to pay their respects to the late Father Thomas Keating and other leaders who helped establish and run St. Benedict's for decades. Yesterday's Mass was the last public event that will be held at the monastery. The Wall Street Journal reported last month that Palantir CEO Alex Karp purchased the property for $120 million. But it's not yet clear what his plans are for the land. In news from the ski world, the U.S. Grand Prix wrapped up over the weekend, but Aspen skiers did not come out on top of the halfpipe. Aspen Public Radio's Reagan Mertz has more on the results.
Three Aspen athletes were looking to earn a spot on the U.S. Olympic team, but final results were not in their favor. Alex Ferreira placed sixth, missing grabs on both of his runs. Athletes must grab their skis during every trick in the halfpipe, which adds style, control, and difficulty. Ferreira did not complete his grabs, and as a result, he lost his 12-straight World Cup podium streak.
It's bittersweet. Obviously, I want to be on top of the podium, where I think I can be all the time, and it was just a matter of inches. I missed the grab a little bit. It changes the scores, right? But I gave it my best shot, and only can come back stronger and learn from this, so it's all good.
Despite the low score, Ferreira already secured a spot on the U.S. Olympic team. The other Roaring Fork Valley locals were also not so lucky. Tristan Feinberg and Nick Geiser both needed a first-place finish in the men's free ski halfpipe to secure a spot, and didn't make it. Basalt's Hannah Fallhaber just needed to place third in the women's free ski halfpipe, but she also didn't make it to the podium. For Aspen Public Radio, I'm Reagan Mertz.
For the first time in more than a quarter century, there's a new chairlift at Monarch Mountain Ski Resort in southern Colorado. KRCC's Shauna Lewis reports.
The new three-person lift expands the resort's skiable terrain by hundreds of acres onto the western side of the Continental Divide into what's known as No Name Basin. Director of Mountain Operations Scott Presley says it adds about a dozen new intermediate and expert runs.
You're looking out at the Gunnison Valley, and you don't see the highway, you don't see the base area, and just kind of more quiet experience and really neat terrain.
Presley says opening day for the new lift depends on snow conditions, but even though Monarch doesn't make snow, most of the mountain is open. That's due to snow farming, capturing and moving snow to where it's needed. Shauna Lewis, KRCC News.
Monarch Mountain is a financial supporter of KRCC. Financial supporters have no editorial influence. Telluride reopened over the weekend. That's after a ski patrol strike that began in December came to an end last Thursday. A proposal was made to the ski patrol union on Tuesday, and the membership voted and passed the offer Thursday. The terms of the deal were not clear. Ski patrollers were requesting wage increases to help keep up with housing costs and affordability. In statewide news, Colorado Democrats are reviving a bill that would make it easier for workers to unionize after Governor Polis vetoed it last year. For the Colorado Capital News Alliance, Lucas Brady Woods reports lawmakers and union members held a rally Thursday at the state capitol.
The bill is a top priority for Democratic lawmakers and labor unions. They spent months negotiating with business groups and the governor's office over the policy during last year's legislative session, but were not able to reach a compromise. The legislature passed the bill anyway, and Polis vetoed it. Representative Javier Mabry is one of the bill's sponsors.
We need a governor who has the courage to stand with workers. So today, we're back, because the problem did not go away.
The bill would abolish an 80-year-old rule unique to Colorado. It requires that workers hold a second election before their union can fully negotiate. Supporters say the second election gives employers additional time to delay negotiations and pressure workers.
That was Lucas Brady Woods for the Colorado Capital News Alliance. And in regional news, flu cases are rising in Mountain West states, including among children. Jenny Kinsey has more.
The same week that federal officials eliminated a longstanding guidance that all children receive flu vaccines, data show 9 children died from the virus. The new recommendation is that parents consult with doctors about the vaccine. Many doctors say vaccinations can save lives. That includes Miranda Durham, the chief medical officer for the New Mexico Department of Health. She's tracking a significant rise in cases, especially children.
I think the whole flu picture this year is a combination of things, as it always is. One is low vaccination rates, one is a bad flu strain, and then sometimes it's just when it shows up.
Like the recent holidays, when more people gathered and traveled, New Mexico says ER intakes are 50% higher than the previous year. Arizona, Colorado, Idaho, Nevada, Utah, and Wyoming are also facing surges in flu cases. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Jenny Kinsey.
The Aspen Public Radio newscast is produced by our team. News Director Hallie Zander, reporters Reagan Mertz, Sarah Torrey, Michael Finelli, and me, your host, Megan Tackett. Our contributing reporters include Eleanor Bennett, Josie Taras, and Lucy Peterson. You can listen to the show every weekday morning on our website or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.